thoughts and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bod. It's Tuesday. Linda's on assignment, but wanted to be here today, but is out getting a horse shot. Can you believe that? People start work so early. Good morning, everybody. Today is the 10th of May, 2022, and my very beloved mother-in-law's birthday. She's 89 today. You wish that you would have the energy that this woman has at any age. She is a wild and crazy lady. So happy birthday very much to Mom, to June Snook. It's 7:06 in the morning. News brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center, who will be in with us today. Healing starts here, right there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And any national day out there?
National Washington Day. The state, not the...
Washington Day. I used to live in Washington. Went to school there. Graduated from high school in Yakima, Washington. It was the apple capital of the United States. And now they raise hops, believe it or not. Yeah, and probably marijuana, because everybody grows marijuana. So no, but tops. So what's the weather look like?
It looks like we have a chance of showers today, and then it's going to be mostly clear with a high of 62, a low of 41. It's currently 41, by the way. Tomorrow is going to be sunny with a high of 72, low of 47. It looks like on Thursday we have a chance of showers, then partly cloudy with a high of 66, a low of 47. Friday is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 75, a low of 54. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high around 88, a low of 59. And Sunday, sunny with a high around 89 and a low of 59.
So it was going from 34 yesterday to 90. I love ready. In any case, the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's more than just the propane, my friends. All the propane comes out of like one tank someplace south. It's the customer service and Shasta Gas Propane. Excels in customer service, a family-owned business based out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans, and they treat their customers so well. Give them a call, 365-3793. And I'm here with Turtle Bay, and I got to do something none of you were able to do. Good morning, Sharon Clay.
Good morning,
and good morning, Janae Eastland. And Janae's with the sales and media and public
marketing
team. Marketing sounds better than sales, doesn't it?
depends on who you ask.
Okay. Sharon,
yes, sir,
allowed me to hold the newest baby at Turtle Bay. Tell about our baby.
It's everybody's baby. Community's new baby, really.
Yeah.
And he is a rescue. He was found as an orphan. He was very, very young. Somebody kept him for a little bit. He got very used to people. When he went to rehab, he was an early baby, so he was too young. Ooh. Carl just scared him. Oh, my gosh. You know what happens when you scare this animal, Carl, right? Okay.
What I did is I snapped my fingers just to get him to turn around so I could take a photo, and he jumped in the air.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, I would never do that in real life.
Yes, I realize that, because that would, when we tell everyone what it is, they're going to know why. He was too young. He was early in the season, and they didn't have any other babies that age. So there was no way to avoid him getting habituated to humans. And so he came to us. He is only 8 weeks old right now. He came to us 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my God.
He has quadrupled in size since we got him. He's growing very quickly. And he is going to be the newest love of the community, because this is a striped skunk kit.
This is a baby skunk.
It is.
Let me tell you how adorable it is. But here's something that totally, totally surprised me. When I was holding, and they haven't named, well, the name hasn't been named yet. And when I was holding the skunk up, of course, on my chest up high, because you hold it just like a baby because they trust you and, you know, you don't want them to fall. This little skunk smells so good. I thought you had given it a bath. I literally
know.
Thought you had given it a bath or something, and you know, in some kind of foo-foo shampoo, because he smells like flowers.
Yes, and actually, Sweet Pea did too. They all smell so good.
And it reminds me of the Disney movie. And what did they call the skunk?
Flower.
Flower. And this little skunk smells like flowers.
Yes, and it so it's one of the things we love to educate people about skunks is that skunks don't smell badly. They don't have a bad odor. It's just their defensive that does. So they have a gland that they literally shoot that out at you, and that's what smells bad. But skunks don't smell bad. So that's the real important lesson for people about
now,
how wonderful skunks are.
Do they obviously his gland has been.
We removed his gland already. We did that over a week ago. He's 2 weeks ago now.
Doesn't seem to be bothering him at all.
He does not care. You would have just gotten it in the face a few minutes ago, though, I think.
What, when I snapped my fingers?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
He whipped around and showed you his rear. Yep,
he
that
did.
Bullseye.
He did.
Yeah.
And he goes, when that happens, watch Carl run.
But he doesn't have the ability. They actually, it's another thing people don't realize, is babies have just the ability to spray just as much as the adults do within about the first week of life.
Really?
They can spray.
Kind of like baby rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They have the ability to
give their venom.
Now, what's he eating right now?
Right now, I'm feeding him his fruit and veggie. They're omnivores, so these guys eat, in the wild, they eat lots and lots of grubs, you know, and insects in the ground. They eat lots of rodents and lizards, then they eat any kind of, those are the opossums. I mean, I'm sure they eat them if they could.
Okay, opossums are the ones
opossums eat the ticks. But these guys will eat a lot of vegetation as well.
Okay.
And so right now he's getting his fruit and veggie.
He is
he's chomping on a piece of apple right now.
Yeah.
But he also gets mealworms, and he gets mice, and he gets a commercial diet that looks all like ground beef, but it's not. It's just a very good fortified meat for them, and that's what he gets. He was being bottle-fed for the first few weeks, and he's kind of weaned himself. I started giving him the bottle, and he was like, I don't want that.
That's enough, Mom. Give me meat.
Correct. Well, we got him just 3 weeks ago, and he had no teeth yet. So that's teeth after that's 3 weeks of growth.
You know what?
This is micro-fencing him with teeth.
Yeah.
You know, they're wild. And because of that, when you look at, you know, and of course he's not a prey animal, but.
They are prey animals.
Well, okay, they are prey animals, but they also are, when you look at them, they get up quick. They are able to move quick. His teeth have come in quick to be able to protect himself. He would have been able at this age or even earlier. To turn around and nail somebody.
Absolutely.
Or another animal coming at him.
Absolutely. Yeah. When he was found, I mean, he was already walking around with Mom, and he was only, like, maybe 3 weeks old. So they get out of the den and start being able to follow Mom pretty early. And then they wean very quickly, too. Most of the animals, like, you know, our foxes and stuff, they don't wean for months and months completely. These guys are weaned off of Mom after, like, 6 to 8 weeks. They're done. And then they're off just eating. So, but skunks are so important in the environment because of all that digging they do. They do a lot of digging. Uh-huh. One thing I have done already, look how long those nails are of his, those claws.
Yeah.
I've already trimmed them twice. So they grow very fast. And they dig, and it helps the soil.
If you go to our chat room, Jared took a photo of me with the little guy. And I'm holding up there is not an old banana. That's his plaything.
Yeah.
It was like a cat or a dog would have for him to play with. And to show you his size,
it's little. Oh, and he just fell off my hands onto the floor. And I warned you about that, didn't I? That he would do that to you, and he did it to me. There you go.
He jumped off the table.
He jumped right off my hand, out of my lap.
Okay. He seems to be okay.
He's fine.
Okay.
They're made of rubber at this age. He's good.
You know, like kids are.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know, they can fall and do things.
Exactly.
We dropped our daughter off. She was getting washed, and she was in one of those you know, baby holders. Not a baby. She wasn't baby. You know, where they can lean back in it. She just popped right out, and she was slippery. And my wife grabbed her leg, and she slid right out of her leg. But luckily we had, you know, carpeting where she hit. Didn't even cry.
Yeah.
My wife cried.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. She was crying. You know, we were supposed to go out that night. We actually had money. I was a second lieutenant. I actually had money, and that went. We must have just gotten paid. We're gonna probably go out and have a hamburger, and we didn't go out that night.
Aww.
We just watched the
baby.
Just watched the baby, who was fine. We got to take a quick break here, but we're here with the newest baby love of Turtle Bay. It's a little skunk. He's what, 5 weeks?
8 weeks.
8 weeks old. And is adorable. He'll soon be on exhibition, I'm sure. Well,
it'll be a few months.
Oh,
but,
a couple months.
But people will see him at the end of the animal show, which is what we need to talk about after the break.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cornerstone Community Bank. 15 years Cornerstone Community Bank has been here. It is a community bank. It's got a local board of directors. It's got, run locally. Four branches, one in Red Bluff, two right here in the city, and the newest branch down in Anderson just opened up at 2727 Ventura Avenue. Now, Cornerstone Community Bank has been helping move local dreams forward since the day they opened. And we have our business account there and are very, very happy at the way we're being treated. That's Cornerstone Community Bank. Learn more at bankcornerstone.com. We'll be right back.
Sugar magnolia, blossoms blooming, heads all empty and I don't care.
Stole my baby down by the river.
Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor to address the homelessness and property crime in our community. By acting compassionately but demanding accountability, he knows we can reduce crime, restore our public spaces to the use of all, and help less fortunate residents live their best lives possible. What we are currently doing isn't working, and as Supervisor for District 1, Kevin Cry's priority will be to fight to end homelessness in Shasta County, not sweep its core problems under the rug. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Thirty years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
If SB 1464 passes the California legislature, it will require law enforcement to enforce all public health orders, whether they agree with health orders or not. We cannot let that happen to our community. Kevin Cryer is running for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1, to make sure our communities are safe from tyranny. We all live in this community together, and we cannot allow for one group to be pulled into harassing another. We must stand together, and we must vote for Kevin Cryer for Supervisor, District 1, paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and DeBot. Good morning. We're on 7 to 9 AM Monday through Friday, 7:21 in the morning here on the 10th of May. And this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, the premier retirement community here up in Northern California. It's not an assisted living facility. It's for active seniors, beautiful accommodations, gourmet chefs, transportation, activities. They got it all there at River Commons Senior Living. If you'd like to learn more and take a tour of River Commons, give Brian a call at 238-5981 and find out why the people there worry less and smile more. River Commons Senior Living. I'm here with Sharon Clay, who is the animal jefe, the El Supremo of the animal section over at Turtle Bay, and Janae Eastland.
Eastland,
okay, yeah. Who is in the marketing department. Now, something big's happening. We got...
Oh, my gosh, animal show start on
yeah,
Saturday.
Yeah, the animal show start Friday. Or Saturday.
Saturday. They open Saturday. We've got our little baby skunk here. Our baby from last year, Artemis, the baby fox we had in here last year. She's got a part in the show this year. She's amazing. So Walk in the Wild Side Animal Show is back. We've got new script. We have a few new animals this year in the show. We have a new red-tailed hawk. We have a new little falcon called a kestrel in the show. Artemis joined the lineup. It's just super fun. We have these birds called Tarakos from Africa in the show. It's going to be a blast. It starts on Saturday. It's every day but Mondays at 11 and 12 from now until the middle of August.
You need to update your website. You're missing a couple of these birds.
Oh, yes. Ah. Oh, the species
the
on the list.
What was it?
A Tarako? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just told that by the marketing director. He needed a list of that. So I am hurting myself over here. I'm fumbling with a skunk and stuff. So, I need to get those new animals on there. It's a few new ones. The Tarako is from Africa.
Yeah.
Super cool.
What's it look like?
It looks like a roadrunner.
Oh, okay.
But brightly colored for the rainforest.
Wow.
So think about that.
Of course, you have the lorikeets. They're always there, and the lorikeets.
Yes, and the Tarakos live in with the lorikeets.
Okay.
Yes.
They don't eat nectar, though.
They don't, but they're berry eaters. They eat fruit. Okay. So people don't feed the Tarakos.
Okay.
It's a different species, but that's good. You can show them that. That's a Tarako right there.
Oh, okay. Yes. They're beautiful. You can't see that, but it's a green, bright green bird with red eyes.
Well, the
red
species we have, that's a different species. The one we have is a bright red crest.
Okay.
But it's all green like that. That's not the bird we have.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What you need to do is go down and see.
Yes, you do.
Come on down and see the animal show starting Saturday. And what else do we have?
Butterflies opens in June. Okay. So butterflies are back. June 18th through August 14th is the butterflies. And so we're super excited for those coming back.
If you have not been to the butterfly exhibit, you need to do that. Take the kids, take the grandkids, take your neighbors, and go down there and see this. It's wonderful. You can have them. They come up and will settle on your fingers. And you can watch that. And you can also buy a
It's basically a feeding stick. It's like a sugar stick for them.
But you can also sponsor one and name it.
Yes.
I mean, it's still in the whatever you call that.
It's in the enclosure box. So when they open up out of their chrysalis, and they it's called eclosing. So they eclose, they come out of the chrysalis, and then they're hanging in the box until their wings dry, and then they get to go out into the house with the rest of the butterflies. And so you can purchase that, and the kids can take them out of the box, and they get to name them and set them into the butterfly house with the rest of the butterflies. Super fun. Feeding is a blast. We started that last year. It's something so spectacular. So definitely things that people need to come out and see.
Okay. Janae, it's your turn.
Yeah, we've moved to summer hours, heads up. So now we are open 7 days a week on weekdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So we're no longer closed Monday and Tuesday. You can come any day of the week.
Okay, and masks are optional, of course.
Yeah,
correct.
And we're never going to say you can't wear a mask, but they're optional. What else has got? Okay.
King Tut is included with the mission. We get this question all the time. You get to go to Tut if you have a way into the museum with your membership or with a paid admission ticket.
Now, your admission, a family admission is $90 for a whole year. That includes two adults and four children, not necessarily all your own. It could be your kids' friends that you bring in. And what a great event to be able to go in and see King Tut. This exhibit is just, I mean, remarkable. Linda was in awe when she went through there of that. So
it's pretty amazing.
So many things happening at Turtle Bay. It's getting to be that time of the year again. Open 7 days a week. Animal shows are starting. And if you've not been to an animal show, my friends, you need to go. If nothing else, is to see which one of them says, not today.
That's exactly right, Carl. You've seen the show enough if that's what your takeaway is, for sure. Our animals are all trained with what we call choice and control. So basically, they have the choice and the control of the whole situation, and we basically go with it. So we train them, and we create an incredible, wonderful, choreographed, you know, behaviors to show, and then they come out and do whatever the heck they want. And so it's super funny when they do. I used to, years ago, I've been doing this a few years. And I used to get really stressed out when the animals messed up. Or sometimes not just messed up, but like, you know, fly off and hang out in a tree for 10 minutes and stuff like that. And I used to just get really upset and really stressed.
I saw that happen once. The only thing they're doing is their natural behavior. It's just at a certain time.
Exactly. So everything we train is a natural behavior. And then we put it on cue. And the whole reason we want to show, we want people to see. So, you know, you see National Geographic specials of a fox leaping up and going face first into the snow, but how many people have ever actually seen that live? But our red fox is trained to do it on cue, so you actually can see what that looks like live in front of you. But sometimes he decides to take off running through the playground, and so I used to get stressed out until I realized that the guests love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like their favorite part. If you ask people, what is your favorite part? It's exactly what you said. It's like, oh, it's when the bird flew off the tree and just sat there looking at you, and you were begging it to come down.
And
yes.
You take it very well.
Just take it in stride and keep going.
Okay. What do you want people to remember? Because I know you have to leave and run to some other place. So,
like we said, shows start Saturday. Butterflies start in June. Come see King Tut. We've got our summer hours, and then this summer we've got pterosaurs coming, which is going to be an amazing summer exhibit that starts in June. So just so much happening. It's beautiful weather coming up, not today, but beautiful weather coming up. No place to be but Turtle Bay.
And this weekend's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a little warm on Sunday, but getting out there and being out in the sun and enjoying yourself and wearing your summer clothes and watching this.
Come fill up our theater.
I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to, I know you don't feel bad about it. Sometimes they don't do what they're supposed to. I went to a park one time that had penguins.
Uh-huh.
And they said, we've been working with this penguin, and this penguin's name was, I don't know, Fat Bob or something like that. And they probably changed the name, you know, today. But this is what we've been able to train Bob to do in 5 years. Bob walked out. Turned around, walked back. That was it. And then all the trainers and attendants, they were all applauding. because he walked out and turned around and walked back. That was it. Other penguins were doing things. This was it for him.
That's it.
But he still got his fish.
That's right. And the other thing for people to know is if they want to meet our little skunk kit, he will be out at the end of most shows. I can't promise every show, but right. he will be out at the end of most shows.
You need to you need to come down and see this little skunk, and you know and smell it. No, you really do, because I will tell you he smells like flowers. And that's his natural smell.
Yeah, it's going to be like...
Because you haven't bathed him or anything.
No, we have not bathed him. It's going to be like a wedding receiving line where it's going to hold the
smell.
You can smell
him. You can smell him in here right now. It's a very... I mean, it's like you're... It's very pleasant.
Yep.
Okay. I got it on my hands. Maybe that's it. Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, no. We really, really enjoy y'all coming in on the second Tuesday of each month. And... we'll see you, little skunky. He's upside down right now. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, if you're thinking about purchasing an electric car or renting an electric utility, there's rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. We'll be right back.
The last 2 years revealed who politicians are truly loyal to. It wasn't we the people. True public servants are hard to find. That's why we need Eric Jensen at the helm as our district attorney. Eric is a patriot, a devoted father, an experienced attorney from the private industry. This means he isn't beholden to political cronies or government bureaucrats who will boldly fight for you. The current system has failed us, and Eric Jensen is the only non-establishment candidate for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate. Or candidates committee.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. It looks like another hot and dry summer is about to begin, and I pray we won't have any fires. One of the many things I'd like to do as a supervisor is to craft an ordinance to reduce the fuel loads on the federal lands within our county. I would encourage private landowners to reduce the loads on their properties too, but would not burden them with an ordinance, just the federal government with the lands that they manage. We need to get the feds to reduce the risk of fire in our county, not go begging for dollars after we have another disaster. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom Supervisor District 5. Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I'm hearing a lot of stories on the campaign trail from citizens who have been told by the county that their sheds are too big and their patio or deck needs a permit. Kiddie pools, dog houses, and even a covered woodpile have been mentioned as instances of grief received from the county. If we are using county equipment and personnel to catch tax-paying citizens doing small improvements on their own property, while we ignore large-scale marijuana grows and transient camps, our priorities need to change. Let's work to make our county better and stop burdening our already overtaxed citizens. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Sometimes it's hard to know who to vote for Shasta County Supervisor District 5. But this time, the choice is clear. Chris Kellstrom resides in Cottonwood and is a Shasta County native who believes in faith, family, and the Constitution. Chris Kellstrom is not a politician and will not raise your taxes to solve your problems. And at 6'9", he really is head and shoulders above the rest. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
We need all units to
crime right
California under siege.
Are gang related?
Criminals set free.
Their local police.
Police attacked.
In shooting victims.
Victims ignored.
God, shot my little brother.
Ultra liberal California Attorney General Rob Bonta has never personally prosecuted drug traffickers or violent gang members. He has zero experience to do the job. Nathan Hochman does. Nathan is the one candidate for Attorney General endorsed by the California Republican Party. He's the only candidate with the real experience to keep us safe. As Assistant U.S. Attorney, Hochman prosecuted corrupt government officials and locked up violent drug traffickers and gang members.
I'm Nathan Hochman. What's happening in California is unacceptable. Politicians ignore us while communities are attacked. As Attorney General, I'll actually do the job and prosecute criminals. I will always protect California first.
Nathan Hochman, an attorney general who will keep us safe.
Paid for by Nathan Hochman for Attorney General 2022.
Reading is already heating up. Book your travel now to the Pacific Northwest with Alaska Airlines and enjoy daily nonstop service from Reading to Seattle. You can enjoy a cool weekend in Seattle or connect with Alaska Airlines to anywhere in the world with the One World Alliance. Dreaming about that Alaskan cruise? Fly direct and sail away. At Alaska Air, they care a lot. Check out great places to travel and book your next trip now at alaskaair.com/Redding.
The last 2 years revealed who politicians are truly loyal to. It wasn't we, the people. True, public servants are hard to find. That's why we need Eric Jensen at the helm as our district attorney. Eric is a patriot, a devoted father, and experienced attorney from the private sector. This means he isn't beholden to political cronies or government bureaucrats. He will boldly fight for you. The current system has failed us, and Eric Jensen is the only non-establishment candidate for Shasta County District Attorney. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebaugh. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, 605-4567 is our phone number, 7:36 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Hey, if you're not getting the treatment for a work injury that you should, give Patrick Gorman a call for a free consultation. You can get call him at 262-2168. Work injuries can be life-changing, and your insurance companies have lots of lawyers. Why shouldn't you have one that understands workers' comp and has been doing this for, he worked for an insurance company for a while, and then he came out of the insurance company and said, I'd rather be on the other side. Again, give him a call at 262-2168. You need somebody that's fighting for your rights to make sure that you're being taken care of. Okay, we're waiting for Scott Seaton from the North State Symphony to give us a call. But there's so many weird things happening out there. Have you been looking at this thing where that jailer escaped, took one of the inmates, he was like 6'9", took him out like for a medical appointment that he didn't have, and they just escaped? Did you see that?
I did hear about it, and I just heard they got caught yesterday.
Well, they got caught yesterday. They were chasing them. The car overturned, and the woman, the deputy, killed herself, it appears, while she was, after the car stopped. She took her gun, and this is what I've read, apparently killed herself, or shot herself, and she died. The guy's still alive, and but they caught them. Here's something else there's so many weird things happening out there. But this one right here, Rhode Island parents. A Michigan man who left his car at a dealership for an oil change and tire rotation is being sued after his vehicle was involved in the death of one of the dealership's employees. It appears that one of the dealership's employees, it had a clutch on. It was a manual transmission. And after they changed the oil, they started the engine, and they wanted to see if there was any oil leaks. That makes sense. But somehow the 19-year-old lube technician, the vehicle lurched forward because he was unfamiliar with the clutch, and it pinned and killed a 42-year-old employee. So there's all types of weird state laws on this. And because the guy that's suing for the man that died, he didn't know how to drive the vehicle's manual transmission. It did not have a license. The attorney said the dealership cannot be sued because of a legal standard preventing an employee from suing their bosses for negligence, which in this case would be the hiring of someone who should not have been driving. And so they end up suing the guy that owns the car. Now, the judge did do this. He indemnified the guy, and he said he ordered the Rochester Jeep Dodge dealership where the incident occurred to indemnify Diaz Navarro, who is the owner of the car, if he's found liable of negligence. But you would think that if you give your vehicle to a to get the oil changed, or if you give it to a valet at, to have it valet parked, and he turns around and he leaves and he hits somebody and kills them, that you're being held for negligence because you lent your car to that business. Is that amazing or what? It is to me how that could happen. So, we're going to take an early break here and get ready for our next segment. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents live on stage, Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Young Frankenstein, May 6th through the 29th. Tickets at the box office on Bocelli Lane or online at axreptheater.com.
Voter fraud is a hot topic these days, with certain voting machines at the center of the conversation. As voters, we need a voting system we can trust. Our current county clerk believes these leased voting machines are trustworthy and plans to use them for the next 5 years. We need a new county clerk that will work to replace these machines with one of 8 California-approved alternatives. Vote Bob Holsinger for Shasta County Clerk on June 7th. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Proven experience, fighting for you.
This is Stephanie Bridget, your Shasta County District Attorney. I've spent 2 decades fighting for your safety. I've personally prosecuted murderers, rapists, and child molesters, sending them to prison for life. I have met with and advocated for thousands of victims, giving them a voice against those that have harmed them. I am tough on crime and support a bigger jail. Vote for me, Stephanie Bridget, on June 7th.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney, 2022.
I'm Ed Rollman, a third-generation Shasta County native, business owner, and founder of the Merchants Crime Watch. District Attorney Stephanie Bridget has a 20-year proven record of fighting for the safety of Shasta County, including protecting local businesses from repeat offenders. That's why I support her re-election. We don't need someone like her opponent, a workers' comp lawyer with no experience who will need on-the-job training. Vote Stephanie Bridget for Shasta County District Attorney.
Paid for by Stephanie Bridget for District Attorney, 2022.
My name is Vincent Eugene Allen. I'm a doctor and businessman running for insurance commissioner, and I approve this message.
Doctor. Vincent Eugene Allen was born in Cleveland, Mississippi, raised by his grandmother, Rosia H. Miller. After completing medical school in West Virginia, Dr. Allen began caring for patients in Los Angeles. Businessman. Vincent Eugene Allen and his wife, Dr. Connie U. Allen, operate 7 urgent care clinics across Los Angeles, seeing thousands of patients and providing high-paying jobs to the community. Community leader. Vincent Eugene Allen was on the front lines of the pandemic, providing food for the quarantine and medical services for the community. He and his family continue to hold charitable events in their community. Vote Vincent Eugene Allen for insurance commissioner. Doctor, not politician. Paid for by Dr. Allen for Insurance Commissioner 2022, FPPC ID 143-9485.
The motor end,
Welcome back to Pre-Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 10th of May, it's 2022. 40 degrees out there, partly sunny. Looks like it could be a decent day. We may get some rain later. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell has built her business, so she has two separate divisions, one for insurance and one for financial management. And if you're looking for a second opinion on a retirement plan or a 401k, is your money going to last as long as you do? You probably want a second opinion on this, and for a free review and evaluation, give Judy's offices a call at 221-0441. Judy Maxwell is a fine person. She is a woman of high integrity, and we have insurance with Judy, and I can totally recommend you giving her a call on any insurance or financial needs. On the phone is Scott Seaton. Scott, good morning.
Morning, Carl.
Hey, I'm just chock full of people for this week. Would love to have you on, but at least you could call in. Tell us what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, we have our huge, huge season finale coming up this Saturday night at 7:30 in the Cascade Theater. So we're very excited to finally present this concert that is 2 years delayed now. This monumental Ninth Symphony of Beethoven, which, you know, when he wrote it near the end of his life, he was pretty much completely deaf. And, you know, the fact that he pushed through, persevered against all odds, and wrote this epic piece about, you know, community and brotherhood and coming together and joy, which, you know, all themes that resonate so deeply now, especially within, you know, our communities and the world we're living. So, We're very excited to finally get there.
Well, you know what? It's been a tussle, hasn't it?
It certainly has.
Okay, now this was his the final complete symphony by Ludwig van Beethoven, and he did it between 1822 and 1824. Isn't it amazing to me that great music is great music, that whether it's in 1822 or 2022.
Yeah, it's you know, music that stands the test of time, and he certainly has.
So tell us a little bit about how you're going to do this.
So this is, you know, a concert that's been so long in the making now, and, you know, we started the season with seven musicians. Seven. Just because we didn't know if we would be able to give live concerts, if we'd have to go and give virtual concerts again. So every concert this season has been structured to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we went from seven musicians to 20 in November to 40 in February. And finally, we're going, you know, combined orchestra and chorus and soloists from all over the state of California. And we're going to get 150. People.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up, Scott. Hello, Scott.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you were breaking up then. You were telling us the composition of the of what was going to happen.
I was just going to say that every, you know, we're so happy to have the 65 piece orchestra on stage, the combined choruses of Simpson and Shasta College, so and then four wonderful soloists and this music, which, you know, even if you haven't heard it, if you don't know what it is, you have heard it. You know, this theme in the finale of the symphony is used. It's one of those themes that's used everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Freude, schöne Gotte, Funken, Tochter aus Elysium, wir betreten Feuertrunk. Yeah, so everyone knows the tune. Beethoven wrote a few memorable tunes, This one has just kind of lasted the past 190 years, which is a funny story, because we were rehearsing this on Saturday, and I found out that day that the premiere of this symphony was May 7th, 1824, exactly 198 years ago. So
wow.
It was very special to be rehearsing the symphony that day.
Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to play this right now, and I can't. For some reason, it's playing, but I'm not hearing it on my computer to play that. But Jared, see if we can't pull that up, the final stanza, the finale. We're talking about the finale here, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, okay, now, the people that you have that are in the symphony, Scott, are they all local, or some of them coming in from all over, or what?
We're a very special orchestra in that we're not just the local symphony, but 50% of our musicians do come from Chico and Redding, so we do maintain that sort of that hometown feel. But we have musicians that come from all over, including, you know, Sacramento, the Bay Area, Southern Oregon, sometimes Nevada, sometimes L.A. We have a percussionist from Tucson, Arizona. Our principal horn player comes from Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
It's really quite a wide radius, and they come all this way because they really love being in the North State and playing for our amazing audiences and just feeling the energy that happens in those concert halls.
You know, the best part, okay, I shouldn't say the best part, but one of the top parts, top segments of the symphony is right at the beginning. When Scott comes out. Now, see, what time does it start? 7:30, right?
Yep, 7:30 on Saturday, yes.
Now, when do you come out?
I highly recommend. So there's a 6:30 p.m. pre-concert talk, which means for about half an hour, you're coming and you're getting a really detailed overview of all the music you're going to hear. And sometimes you get to meet the soloists and learn about them and really just have a lot of, like, sonic markers of things to listen for during the concert. And especially if you don't know some of the music, it really helps to better, you know, delve into what you're going to hear in the evening.
And I tell you what, it is wonderful to listen to this. You get such an insight into the music. You may be fortunate enough to meet some of the orchestra. You understand it. And I think when you understand the background and everything about it, you enjoy the music more. So I highly recommend coming in early.
And I will say, this particular pre-concert talk is going to be exciting because I'm bringing one of our musicians to chat with me a little bit. He's actually from Reading, Eric Whitmer, but he's now studying in Nashville, Tennessee at my alma mater, but he's still one of our percussionists, and he's also one of our board members, so he's very invested in the symphony. And what's funny about him is that his first live orchestra concert that he saw and that inspired him to really continue in music was my first concert as music director 7 years ago. So it's been quite a turnaround for him to first see the symphony and then become so involved in it, both playing in it and advocating for it as a board member. So come hear what he has to say about Beethoven as we chat.
Well, now, you said he's going to school in Nashville, and you did too. Where did you go to school at?
He's going to Vanderbilt right now, which is my alma mater as well. It's where I did my undergraduate degree, yeah.
Dude, next time we're in town, we're going to talk about that. having graduated from that, you know, that institution also. Beethoven was almost deaf by the time he did this. How did he do it? I mean, what kind of techniques did he use to be able to get such a wonderful, wonderful piece of music or a whole symphony out of this?
You know, he was deaf, but in, you know, especially in his later years, you know, he had so much music swarming around in his head and in his being that even though he couldn't hear and associate with the outside world, he still had his internal self that he wanted to project outwards. And so he, you know, he knew the notes, he knew the tempos, and he put them all together. And, you know, there's a funny story about the premiere. So he insisted on being one of the quote-unquote conductors for this first concert of his Ninth Symphony. And so when it was happening, there was actually two conductors. He was conducting, but only in the most basic sense of what you would consider conducting. And the actual conductor, you know, led the musicians because he could hear them and adjust to them and adapt to them. But when the symphony ended, you know, there was just rapturous applause. Everyone loved it. I mean, it was just an experience not to be missed. And then they were applauding, but Beethoven, because he couldn't hear what the musicians had just done, he was still conducting because in his head, the music was still happening. And so one of the soloists had to nudge his arm and turn him around to face the audience so that he could see, you know, how wildly receptive they were to what they just heard.
Now, I may know something you don't know about
this.
Oh,
yeah? What is that?
What was the woman's name who took his arm and turned him around?
I knew it at one time, and it's one of those German names that I'm just terrible at remembering.
Carolyn Unger,
yeah,
who sang the contralto part at the first performance, and is credited with turning Beethoven to face the applauding audience. But see, you knew that, and the way that explained it, that he was almost like a madman, up and throwing himself back and forth, his feet, his hands, and everything, you know, because he could hear it, just like you said. What a wonderful,
absolutely.
I tell you, the ninth, and we're going to have how many people up there on the stage?
About 160.
160 people, and it's going to be Saturday at 7:30. Wow. Okay. I may just have to, you know what, the last symphony of the season, Beethoven's Ninth, I have to be here.
Yeah, and what's also great about this concert is we just did a little competition this past weekend called Beethoven Idol, where 2 years ago we had a big competition call, and we had 46 composers from all over the world submit for a chance to be played by the North State Symphony, and we narrowed it down through a committee to three finalists. And then we rehearsed little excerpts of these three pieces, and then we had our orchestra vote, and there was an audience, and they voted, and there was a virtual audience through YouTube, and they voted. And so we're going to feature one of those composers on this concert as well. And his name is Wesley Stormer, and he's from Australia. He lives in Sydney, and he created this great piece. It's a short piece called Fantasy for Orchestra, and so you're going to hear that at the beginning of the concert as well, along with an overture by a composer who was very popular when she was alive in Paris, but then kind of forgotten when she died. And her name is Louise Ferenc, and we're going to do her overture number two. So it's a nice concert with, you know, lots of different variety in music, but of course the focus is absolutely Beethoven and this universal message that is embedded in his Ninth Symphony. So I hope everyone could come out and hear it.
Wow. It's going to be a great time, my friends. And where can you get tickets? Can you get them online, or do you have to just go down there and buy tickets?
Well, I think you can get them online at the Cascade Theater box office site. You can also go through northstatesymphony.org and be directed there. But, yeah, the Cascade box office can certainly help you out.
Over 100 people on stage, three different compositions, Scott Seaton leading it. I mean, this is a great night, and it'll hold you till next year.
Absolutely, and we're very excited to present our season for next year sometime very soon, and there's a lot to look forward to.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Scott, you've done so much since you came in, and I remember that when they were looking at different people, that everybody that they were looking at cycled through here on the show. And it was, it was interesting. I mean, you looked like you were 12. You still look like you're 12.
When I shave, I look younger.
Okay, that'll be this Saturday. Be there at 6:30, though the concert starts at 7:30. Be there at 6:30 to hear the background and all the great tidbits that Scott provides to the audience. It will really enhance. It will really enhance the whole symphony, all three different works that are being done there. So thanks so much for being with us, Scott.
Always a pleasure, Carl. Thanks for having me.
Member, Carolyn Unger.
I won't forget it now.
Okay. Okay, thanks a lot. Now, hey, when we come back from the news, we've got Shasta Regional Medical Center. We have, it looks like we've got part of the ambulance group that takes care of us, picks people up. They're going to join us also during this time frame, and we will be right back.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The United States has scheduled an emergency meeting of the UN Security Council tomorrow following North Korea's latest test of a ballistic missile. U.S. officials are proposing new sanctions. In his latest video address, Ukrainian President Zelensky says history will hold Russia responsible for its deadly invasion.
Zelensky said on Monday that Europe, as it did in World War II, once again has to think about the price to be paid for peace on the continent, and the price to be paid by Russia for bringing, he says, the evil of total war to Europe again. He adds, and we, Ukrainians, will continue to work toward our defense, our victory, and on restoring justice. Today, tomorrow, and any other day that is necessary to free Ukraine from the occupiers. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
A pro-life office was attacked, and Madison, Wisconsin police are asking for the public's help.
They want to track down those who vandalized and threw two Molotov cocktails into the office of a prominent Wisconsin pro-life group that was damaged by fire. No one's been arrested, and there are no suspects in custody in the fire that was discovered early Sunday morning when someone driving to Madison's nearby airport noticed flames coming from the office building. The fire at the Wisconsin Family Action Office came after two Catholic churches in Colorado, including one known for its annual pro-life display, were vandalized last week. Keith Peters reporting.
China's strict zero COVID strategy once again locking down Shanghai. Disinfectant is being sprayed in the homes of coronavirus-infected people. In London today, Prince Charles took his mother's place for the formal opening of the British Parliament. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm about to compare a pepper shaker to a cash-out refinance. Hang with me. You know when you're at a restaurant and they ask, would you like some fresh ground pepper? And then they crank that giant tube, but almost nothing comes out. For me, only a certain amount of time is socially acceptable to wait. I know that getting that pepper out might make my life better, but it just seems too impossible. And that's what we hear people say about the cash out refinance. People realize that the value of their home has gone up like hot pepper the last few years, leaving all this extra money sitting inside their home. But is it too hard to get out? It's Ryan from United Faith Mortgage. If you're interested in cashing out the extra pepper in your home, we're good at doing all the work while you just sit back and relax. And often, your mortgage payment and years in the loan will stay the same. If you'd like to hear about your options,
we are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Meadow Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
The World Health Organization accuses the alcohol industry of getting around strict advertising rules to market their goods to young people, among others.
Alcohol is responsible for 3 million deaths a year, 13% of them people under the age of 40. Many countries have strict domestic laws on advertising alcohol, but the WHO's new report shows the industry is getting round them with sophisticated cross-border marketing, from sponsorship of global sporting events to product placement in films and television shows. Particular groups are targeted: the young, women, and heavy drinkers.
That report from the BBC. President Biden has signed a bipartisan measure to reboot the World War II-era Lend-Lease program to bolster Ukraine and other allies. The signing comes as Congress is poised to approve more aid for Ukraine. News and analysis at townhall.com. The early morning earthquake that rattled South Carolina yesterday had a magnitude of 3.3. That may not sound like much to folks in California, but U.S. Geological Survey geophysicist Amy Vaughn says it is for a place like South Carolina.
In this particular area where soil is looser, there's less bedrock, etc., it's going to be felt more intensely and more widely. So a 3.3, you know, is a larger deal when it occurs somewhere like South Carolina.
And there's been more rumbling aftershocks. South Carolina had a 2.9 magnitude quake last night, just before midnight. Voters in West Virginia and Nebraska are choosing candidates in primary elections for Congress today. Most races are among Republicans. Former President Trump has endorsed candidates in each state, as he did in Ohio last week. Wall Street stocks are mixed. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM. Our phone lines are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can hop into our chat room. And today, the 10th of May, it's 8:05 in the morning, and news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Jared, we got the weather.
Yeah, good morning. It's currently 43 degrees. Looks like we have a chance of showers today. Then it's going to become mostly clear with a high of 62, a low of 41. Tomorrow's going to be sunny with a high of 72, a low of 47. On Thursday, we have a chance of showers, then partly cloudy with a high of 66, a low of 47. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 75, a low of 54. And Saturday and Sunday, high around 88 and 89 with a high of 59.
Okay. The weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson, a family-owned business that treats their customers exceptionally well. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can reach them at 365-3793. And I'm here with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and you brought with you Mark Belden. Belden, I'm sorry. I'm trying to read that from here, and it reflected off that. Mark Belden, who is with the AMR.
Yes, I'm the operations manager with America Medical Response here in Reading.
Okay, so those are your guys we see racing around town.
Yes, and the red, white, and blue ambulances and the Shasta mm-hmm. Regional ambulances.
They refer to it as responding instead of racing.
Yes.
Although I'm sure there's a small race element.
Yes.
Okay, they are responding. Yet.
There you go.
With their ambulances, with their lights on, sirens
absolutely.
Going. And I don't understand. I saw one of them like that in the Burger King drive-thru with his lights and sirens going. Did it help? Does it get them through there faster?
Usually not.
Okay. I'm just wondering. I'm just kidding, Mark. Casey.
Yes.
Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you?
You know what? I got to hold a baby skunk today.
Nice.
Whose scent gland had been removed, so it made the whole day better.
Another check off your bucket list?
Another check off my bucket list. Right. Now, I will have to admit that was down. I didn't know it was on my bucket list, but, you know, I'm glad it happened. Shasta Regional Medical Center, what's going on with you all?
Well, you know, we're doing, we've got hospital week going on, and Mark is here because it's First Responders Week next week. And, you know, we celebrated a Nurses Day last Friday. We had a nice Cinco de Mayo lunch for them, and, you know, we're honoring the nurses. They're the largest group of professionals in the facility, so it's kind of something that we do for them separately outside of hospital week. You know, hospitals are pretty dynamic environments. I've got many professions, and if you had to honor every single profession and give them a week, you'd have to double up eventually and start doing two a week because there's just so many different types of different specialties there. So we decided to cram it all into one week, and so we got a bunch of festivities going on, and you know, it's good to honor the staff. They've been through a lot over the last couple of years, and you know, it's a hard profession to be in the first place, but when you throw a pandemic in the middle of it, it's one of those kind of events that makes you wonder whether, you know, you made the right choice. But, you know, there's a bunch of them sticking it out with us, and we're all going to get through this together. It's probably something we're going to have to live with for a while, and, you know, it is what it is. So it's a fun to honor them. We're having food trucks coming in on one of the days this week for everybody to come down and have lunch. We got about five different food trucks, and they really, really love that. We did it last year, and that seemed to be pretty well received. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. You know, and there's some really good food trucks around. So, you know, it's something we usually used to do a barbecue, but that's kind of hard on the dietary staff because they have to cook it. And so we thought, well, let's just let everybody participate and try to get some outside help. So.
Well, food trucks is a good idea.
I sampled some pretty good. You know, it's like that thing down at the park every Thursday night. We had some of those guys there, and it was exceptional. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I'd like to recommend Randy's Hot Dogs down there in front of the Yuba Street post office. It's a shout out to you, Randy.
Hard to refuse a good hot dog, though.
Yeah, it is. He has all beef hot dogs and all that kind of stuff. I told him he ought to start, like, tamales also.
There you
and
go.
He said the problem with that is it becomes a lot harder.
Right.
You know, you got to keep them a certain temperature and all this. We're hot dogs. Once you're cooking them and all that, you're okay. You mentioned something, you know, with the pandemic going on. My daughter's a nurse and went through all this, you know, the triple masking and all of these things.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was tough on medical personnel, but especially the nurses. It's amazing how they are, they came through this and all of the things they did to help people. But it's still, I mean, there's a certain level where they just probably have to take a step back and go, oh my God.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that you kind of have to look at is, you know, let's talk about the mask mandate, right?
Yeah.
So everybody in the hospital still has to wear the mask all day. And that's I don't know about you, but it's a CDC rule, it's a state rule, we have to do it. But I am not a fan of the mask. I don't want to wear a mask all day. It's annoying. It's restrictive. But you know, when you're up on the floors and you're doing nursing and you have no choice. And in some cases, you know, when you've got COVID positive patients that are isolated, you have to wear the PAPRs, which is those suits that you see. Like, remember that, was that Dustin Hoffman movie? What was it?
Outbreak.
Like the Outbreak.
Yeah. Hazmat suits.
And can you imagine walking around in that thing for 12 hours?
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, these people really have to tip your hat because they've, you know, and then the other thing is just not knowing. I mean, at first when this came out, we didn't know how contagious it was. Could you bring it home to your family?
Yeah.
You know, could you get it and then give it to, you know, so and then the Marks people as well. Marks people, you know, they're the first responders. They roll up. You know, the only thing that they know is the address and the person that called and what maybe is the problem. Everything else is a variable.
Yes, it is.
You know, and that's like the emergency room. You know, at least these guys see the people before. They can give us some relative information. But rolling up on something that, you know, it's just as stressful. And COVID made that just even more, you know, even more of a stress factor.
Yeah, with all the guidelines that were coming out, and they were changing so quickly.
Yep.
Our folks they really did roll with it, and kudos to them for what they did.
Yeah.
They kind of, we've been able to back off on their mask mandate a little bit. They're only required to wear it during patient care.
Yeah.
So when they're just kind of out and about, just waiting for the next call, they can relax a little bit.
They don't have to drive around with the mask on, huh?
No, not anymore.
I see people driving around with masks on.
That is a little,
they're by themselves in a car.
That is a little, I'm not judging. You know, wear the mask if you don't. Don't wear it if you, whatever you want to do. But it does seem a little funny.
A little more.
If you're the only person in the car.
I tell Linda when she's.
I've seen that before.
When I tell Linda when she's driving, I said, honey, why don't you wear the mask? And she says, why? I said, well, because you and the photo cameras have got a first name or on a first name basis. This way, if they take a photo, they don't know it's you.
Well,
it's just an idea.
Just a thought.
We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash, right down the street from us here. It's on the corner of Market and Eureka Way. It's next to Dutch Bros. And this is a great place to get your car washed. It's brushless. You're in and out in just a couple minutes. Does a great job of cleaning and waxing your car, truck, And then they've got very, very friendly people there. As you come out, they are using clean, soft towels and wipe down your vehicle. And they're very pleasant. This is a great place to get your car washed. Quick and clean car wash. If you buy five car wash coupons, you get one free. You buy 10, you get three free. Only at Quick and Clean. We'll be right back with Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Welcome back to the age of jive. Where have you been hiding out lately, honey? You can't dress flashy till you spend a lot of money. Everybody's talking about the new sound, funny, but it's still rock and roll to me.
Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor to rebuild public trust in our local government. As a small business owner, Kevin Cry was appalled that many of our local businesses were deemed non-essential and were forced to close their doors while others were allowed to stay open for seemingly random reasons. Our leaders should have taken a stand for all our local business owners, but they remained silent. Kevin Cry will stand with all of us. Vote Kevin Cry for Shasta County Supervisor, District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hey Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We've elected career politicians for years now, hoping that the homeless problem, crime, wildfires, and water shortages will get better, and instead they all get worse. I am not a career politician. I'm an experienced businessman who knows how to solve problems and think outside the box. I want to work on our problems, not use them as campaign material every 4 years. Stop the insanity. Vote Chris Kellstrom for District 5 Supervisor. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I'm running for Supervisor in District 5, which includes Anderson, Shingletown, now Happy Valley, and Cottonwood, where I live. The Anderson-Cottonwood Irrigation District is not getting any water in its canals for the first time in over 100 years. Happy Valley is again seeing huge restrictions. Mark Twain said, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting over. We are in a fight for sure. The Delta Smelt found some pretty good lawyers, and I think it's time for the citizens, ranchers, and farmers to find some better ones. Our needs must be moved above those of the fish and radical environmentalists. Help me fight. Paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
Shasta County. There is a candidate in District 5 named Chris Kellstrom. Chris spent many years managing businesses in Anderson, Happy Valley, and elsewhere. Chris knows how to treat customers and employees. Chris would like to bring that experience and knowledge to Shasta County. Chris Kellstrom is not a career politician. He is a business manager and a problem solver. Shasta County is a great place to live, but we do have a few problems that need solutions. We can use a guy like Chris Kellstrom on our Board of Supervisors. Join me in voting for Chris. Paid for by the Liberty Committee. Not authorized being a candidate or candidate's committee.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Is Reading better off than it was 4 years ago? Absolutely not. Our local government has been asleep at the wheel for the past couple years, and we have been void of any effective leadership at the local level. This is why political outsider Kevin Cry is running for Shasta County Supervisor District 1 to help lead our community in the right direction. Shasta County has woken up, and we want change. Let's keep the momentum going and elect Kevin Cry to Shasta County Supervisor District 1. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
I call you on the telephone, my voice too rough to hear.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindabad. Good morning, 8:19 in the morning here on the 10th of May, 40 degrees out there, partly sunny. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. They have a great selection of jewelry at very fair prices. They're super people down there, Rebecca and Henry. It's locally owned, locally operated, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading. And I can just tell you that Linda's birthday is coming up, and she's already pointed out to me a couple of things that appeal to her. Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're here with Casey Fatch, CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center. Just your ratings, national ratings.
No, that just came out today.
What?
This morning. Yep, the Leaf Frog safety score came out, and we got a second consecutive A.
Wow.
So some people will call that a trend. Some people need another A, but we're going to maintain it. But we're certainly on the rise. We started, when I started here, we were at a C, and we progressively, because it comes out twice a year, moved our way up to a B and a B, and then got the A last fall, and then this spring, just today, the A just came out again.
A just came out one more time.
Just came out, so we're proud of it.
And by the way, my friends, these grades are for every hospital. And it's kind of like you walk into a restaurant, if it's got a D rating from the Department of Health, do you really want to eat there? But if you're...
Well, that's a really good point, Carl.
I mean, it is.
If hospitals had to post those on the window and you're walking in and you see you're going to have heart surgery and you see a D, I guarantee you would have a different conversation with your physician. You would turn around. I mean, because if you do it at a restaurant, you would think you would certainly do it at a place where you're about to have major surgery.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Well, so, but that's great. Congratulations to you and all your staff, because this is
a lot of hard work.
This is everybody working hard.
Yeah, it's a team sport, that's for sure.
And it's measured how?
Well, it's not a pay for play thing. It's measured off of publicly reported data and some of the data that we submit, but most of it's publicly reported, like to Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can run from, but you can't hide from that stuff. That stuff is what it is. Everybody submits it the same and collects it the same. So this is a big win for us. We're real excited about it.
Well, that's great. So, that's super.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we were going to talk about emergency, response.
Yeah. So, I was doing a little, every time I go on the show, I have to, do a little research so I don't look, I don't need any more help looking, interestingly to find out the first responder industry, has always been there, but really not as organized until 1965 when the government, put this paper out, and it was basically, did a study on accidents and cause of death in the U.S. And one of the findings was that, in the first half of life, the largest cause of death was accidental injury. And that's the first time that that's ever been a finding in the United States. And it had a lot to do with the fact that everybody's in cars and, modernized machinery and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the things that they found out about that after that was, and they threw stats around in the paper, like, more people died last year than in the whole Korean War. From car accidents. And so then they really needed to kind of refine, the emergency response and what we call pre-hospitalization now, because there was there weren't a lot of ambulance standardization, a lot of those type of things. And so a lot came out of that, and a lot's happened in Mark's industry since, and I'll just pass it off to him.
Yeah. And going back on that government study, then the Wedworth Townsend Act came out in California in the early 60s. I'm sorry, in the early 70s. And that's really where modern EMS has come from, is from the early 70s. Everything, they started focusing on trauma care. And that was a lot of the trauma care that we were taught was from the Vietnam War. And then when we start to see, changes and improvements in trauma care, it's usually out of the military, with commercially available tourniquets and quick clot and those types of things to help with that. That's where we see that. And then they added in the cardiac care and the other things that we do. And it just continually progressed. Paramedics have only been around since the early 70s. And so so this field is really still in its infancy when you compare it to law enforcement and the fire department.
So I have to ask, you and I are about the same age. So we grew up watching emergency.
Oh, absolutely.
So What are your thoughts on, was it accurate? Was it kind
of? Honestly, it's one of the reasons I do what I do today.
Is that right?
Because it's probably one of the most accurate pre-hospital care programs.
Wow.
Because they would go on the back pains that we go on.
All right.
You know, they, there was a, I, matter of fact, watched Emergency last night, and there was a gal stuck in the door that they had to get out. She wasn't injured, but, you know, they show the calls that always go on. But there is that last call of the show.
Right.
Has to have explosions.
Yeah.
And has to have entrapment.
That's like Adam 12. That's when they put the sirens on. Last call, they're going out doing their thing.
The difference, is there a difference between an EMT and a paramedic?
Yes. An EMT is a emergency medical technician,
mm-hmm.
and you can get your EMT certificate by taking a semester class at a community college. I went to Shasta College back in the day and got my EMT. And then to become a paramedic, it's almost more of a vocational type of education,
mm-hmm.
But it is put on by community colleges, technical instruction colleges, and those types of places. And that takes about 18 months to complete.
Okay, so what can an EMT do?
An EMT can do fairly basic stuff, bandaging, oxygen. They can actually give some medications. They can give epinephrine for anaphylaxis or allergic reaction. They can give aspirin.
Narcan.
They can give intranasal Narcan. So they can do a lot of the basic stuff to get things reversed.
Blood pressure,
vital signs, use an AED. So if the heart's not beating correctly and the shock is advised, they can shock the patient and continue
with the defibrillator.
And they can put down an advanced airway.
Okay, they can push an airway down their down their throat. Okay.
Do they do a lot of that with under the direction of the hospital when they're talking to the radio?
A lot of that is done before we make contact with the base hospital.
That makes sense.
Because it needs to get done.
Right.
When I first started, it was
start the breathing, stop the bleeding.
You know, if you're knocking on the door, nobody answers, and you're like, wow.
Right. When I first started, it was all Mother May I. So we had to ask for every medication that we gave. We had to justify it on the radio with the doctor. And luckily, that has changed to where there's only, I believe, one medication we have to contact a doctor for to give now.
So. Okay, so EMT. Now, so then the paramedic, then, what are some of the things they can do then?
All of the things an EMT can do, plus they can intubate and put a more advanced airway down. They can use a heart monitor, so they can interpret the rhythm, do 12-lead EKGs. They can do pacing, so if the person's heart is going too slow, they can actually make it speed up and improve their vital signs. And defibrillation, of course, and then about 20 different medications that we can give for various ailments.
Okay. So so that's after being an EMT and then 18 more months of education.
Yes, to become a paramedic. That.
Okay. So are you familiar with, like, the Corman? How does that compare? I know a Corman can they give blood and all that kind of
Corman can actually do a lot more than a paramedic can, but they're restricted to the military.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. When they come out of the military, they should be able to just become a paramedic, and they're not able to do that. They have to take a whole class.
That's interesting, because it's not just the corpsman, you know, coming to become a paramedic. It's in so many other different vocations too, that you've got to go through schooling after you've been doing this for, you know, for 10 years, that you should just be able to take a test, to me, it seems like. What is the how many are we short paramedics and EMTs?
Yes,
is that a kind of a scarce quantity out there?
Especially during the height of the pandemic, yes. We're starting to see a resurgence of applicants. On the EMT side, we're still struggling with getting paramedics. We're only a couple short on our roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're continuing to hire EMTs because we've also, you know, one of the things we've learned out of the pandemic is that we need to look at other options, and not every call that we respond on requires a paramedic ambulance. So in conjunction with our EMS agency that governs what we do, we were able to put on an ambulance with two EMTs on it to run the low acuity calls that come in.
And that would be like, I fell and I can't get up?
Yes, you know, toe pain or those types of things that we actually get calls for. And our EMS system, they triage those calls out. So they're called low priority or Alpha and Bravo calls.
Right.
So this ambulance responds to those, because those are calls that through this national standard that don't require a paramedic.
Right.
And we can save the paramedics for those more critical advanced calls.
the heart attacks and strokes. And
on an average, how many calls a day do y'all get?
On average in our system, there's anywhere between 70 and 80 calls.
70 and 80 calls a day.
A day. And then that results in about 50 to 55 transports.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I had no idea what the numbers were on that. So how many ambulances do you have running a shift?
Within our system, it's the AMR Shasta Regional Ambulances, and then Dignity has their ambulances as well.
Right.
So on a good fully staffed day, we're operating anywhere from 14 to 16 ambulances in the system during the day. And those numbers go down at night because the volume's not there.
Okay.
So
14 to 16 during the day,
mm-hmm.
two per ambulance.
Yes.
And then at night it goes down, so to what, half?
About six.
Six?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're getting ready to add one of those basic life support units on to the night shift as well.
Okay. I'm with Mark Belden and Casey Thatch. Of course, Casey's the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Mark is the operations guy over at AMR. And we've been just learning about paramedics, EMTs, the differences between them, you know, how busy they are, what they can do, what you can expect when they show up. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, is a better-known business. You know, it's one of those things that you keep doing business with the people that do a good job for you. And that's Cypress Square Barbershop, the only place I've had my hair cut here in Reading. And I see no reason to change that. So they give great haircuts. They work by appointments only, so you're not hung up, unless you want to come in early and just chit-chat. They work by appointments. Give them a call at 244-9478. It's Man's Last Stronghold. It's right across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. We'll be right back.
I am a parent and a healthcare worker. Education is key to a healthy community. Over the past 2 years, our children have suffered from unequal education. This is why we need new leadership in our county. This June, vote for Brian Caples for the Superintendent of Schools. He will hold the line for our children to receive an equal education and empower the school boards to do the same. Vote Brian Caples for the Superintendent of Schools this June. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Shasta County, there's a candidate for District 5 Supervisor in Cottonwood named Chris Kellstrom. Chris is a lifetime member of the NRA and belongs to the California Rifle and Pistol Association. Chris Kellstrom cares about the Second Amendment rights and will do everything in his power to protect those rights in District 5 and all of Shasta County. Remember Chris Kellstrom for District 5, head and shoulders above the rest. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any other candidate or candidates committee.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. It looks like another hot and dry summer is about to begin, and I pray we won't have any fires. One of the many things I'd like to do as a supervisor is to craft an ordinance to reduce the fuel loads on the federal lands within our county. I would encourage private landowners to reduce the loads on their properties too, but would not burden them with an ordinance, just the federal government with the lands that they manage. We need to get the feds to reduce the risk of fire in our county, not go begging for dollars after we have another disaster. This is paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, Supervisor, District 5. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here again. I'm hearing a lot of stories on the campaign trail from citizens who have been told by the county that their sheds are too big and their patio or deck needs a permit. Kiddie pools, dog houses, and even a covered woodpile have been mentioned as instances of grief received from the county. If we are using county equipment and personnel to catch tax-paying citizens doing small improvements on their own property, while we ignore large-scale marijuana grows and transient camps, our priorities need to change. Let's work to make our county better and stop burdening our already overtaxed citizens. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
School boards have been tricked into following Newsom's crazy mandates. Brian Caples wants to train Shasta County school boards to advocate for the constitutional rights of children. Brian is running for Shasta County Superintendent of Schools. He will put children first, and he will empower school boards to stop these crazy mandates. I'm a high school teacher, and on June 7th, Brian Caples has my vote. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Welcome back to the show here. It's 8:36 in the morning and about 40 degrees out there, partly sunny, possibility of more rain today. Hey, the Reading Rodeo is coming. It's coming quickly next week. In fact, it begins this Friday with a street dance, and then we have the steak feed Saturday night. Then Monday they have the special needs kids out there on horses, and it's what a great event that is. And then, of course, the rodeo starts itself on Wednesday night. And then we have the parade on the 21st. Now, Asphalt Cowboys, they need more parade entries. They are in dire need of parade entries, in fact. I'm reading this off their press release. They're looking for business and commercial, civic and fraternal, junior and youth groups, mounted horse groups, vehicle groups, antique cars, fire engines, anything. They would like to have in our parade this year, again, like we always do. It's always free to enter. And they award plaques and trophies to the winning entries that are determined by judges. And this year's theme is Honky Tonk Bars and Rodeo Stars. So that's going to be Saturday the 21st. And how you do this is you give either go to the website of asphaltcowboys.org or you give Dave Tappan a call at 515-3316. I just gave out Dave's cell phone, so you can just call him at any time of the day or night, preferably after midnight and before 2. I'm just kidding. And you can be a single entry, or you can be a group. You can have AMR. You ought to have one of your ambulances.
This.
You should just give them a call and just because you can just go down there and they can wave at people and people yell and shout. And
I don't know if you remember Carl the show we did last May when they robbed the post office.
Oh yeah,
and Carl and I are doing a show here, and all of a sudden we hear these gunshots and we're like, "What the
heck?"
They
go right by us and they're shooting up the place. And the dangerous part about that in Reading is half of Reading's
That's
armed.
Right. Yeah,
so. Yeah. But, what they said was, well, you know, we have visitors here, and all of a sudden they hear gunshots, and they so now they escort them with police, so they know it's just not a bunch of crazy old guys in yellow shirts shooting up the place. Hey, we're here with Casey Fatch, CEO of Shasta Regional, and Mark Belden, who is the operations officer over at AMR. And we talked about the ambulances and everything they do there, how many of them are out there, what it takes to be an EMT, a paramedic, and how they are the first person and many times that get there. I also see fire engines rolling.
Yes.
Now, fire engines and ambulances rolling on the same thing?
Yes.
Does that happen?
It does.
Okay. And why is that?
It's because usually the acuity of the call, because we need the help. And the fire department, they usually have either their firefighters are either public safety first aid trained or their EMTs. And they can get there, and they're more strategically placed throughout the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get there first and start that basic treatment that needs to get done before the ambulance gets there for transport.
Okay. And then you get there and take over from them and then transport.
Yes.
Okay. Do you all practice? I know that Casey does, but do you all practice for mass casualty?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and what kind of training is that?
Well, we just did one. We did an exercise for if there was an organophosphate spill,
mm-hmm.
And how we would treat that, and how we would triage those patients out, then get them to medical care.
It's got to be lung problems and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And then we also do annual tabletop trainings with the airports, and then a triannual drill with them, a physical drill.
I didn't bring up airports. I don't like to bring up airports on these things.
So we do a lot of mass casualty prep. So
and we do do one thing a year together with the MR and the hospitals. Or we do a countywide incident. The county's pretty good here at coordinating.
It is.
Coordinating exercises like that, so we're prepared.
Good. Casey, let's go back to Shasta Regional.
Yeah.
Every month you bring in something new. And, of course, with the A rating that just came out today, that's pretty super. That tells me that, you know, you're doing all the right things. It's not even a B rating, which is good. If I brought home a B, my parents were so happy.
I mean, they were.
In fact, for a C, you know, I got hugged by my dad one time. But an A rating with all the things you're measured in.
Sure.
So what else you got going on over there?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if Dr. Southard's calling in today or not, but we just did our 100th TAVR procedure. That's the heart valve replacement.
When I do the live read about Shasta Regional, it's got to be probably every other one I talk about the TAVR valve replacement. And I tell people about this, and they're just a lot of people have heard about it, but they didn't realize we were doing it right here in town.
Yeah, well, and remember we sat down in 2018 and 19, and we looked at public data, and we looked at procedures that people were leaving the area for.
Yeah.
And that one really stood out, and up to, you know, maybe we were seeing at that time 75, 80 people a year having to go down to UC Davis or Sacramento, which are, you know, good programs. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've got the skill set up here, and we've got the medical staff up here and the training to do those procedures.
Can you explain what the TAVR valve replacement is?
Yeah, so if you have an aortic, if you have a what they call aortic valve stenosis, and you have a doctor that's told you that you have a valve area of less than 1 centimeter, I think it's centimeter, millimeter, whatever, either one, but it you get symptomatic, you get short of breath, you get tired, and they've determined that your aortic valve is closing. The old way was to do a thoracotomy, which is just simply crack your chest open and replace the valve. And that was normal conventional heart surgery. But now we can just go through an artery in your leg, and deploy what's known as a valve, and it's delivered through a stent mechanism. And it's maybe a 20-minute, 30-minute procedure. You're upstairs, you know, pretty quick. And most people, 95% of the people go home the next day. But the thing about it is, though, which was interesting to me is how those programs are set up. And there's a significant amount of prep that goes into the identifying patients that are appropriate for this procedure ahead of time. There's a card. You have to have a consultation with a cardiologist and a cardiac surgeon generally together to see if this is somebody that qualifies for this procedure, and they both have to agree under the Medicare rules that this patient does qualify for the procedure. And so, you know, there's that goes on, and then the post-care. But everybody who's, you know, people that have had them are just, this has just been the most amazing experience, and I didn't have to drive 3 hours each way to get it done.
I find it so. I know you talk about miracles of medicine and all that.
It's pretty impressive
that you can instead of having open heart surgery,
right,
and being in the hospital for several days, that you can literally be up walking around the same day and go home, and your life has changed dramatically for the good.
Well, and you have to remember, I mean, when you know, pre-stents and balloons and valves, if anybody came in, had a heart cath and needed some intervention, it was surgery. From about 1970, yeah. maybe 68 to 84, everybody was getting surgery. That yeah. was it. There was no other options. And then balloons started coming to the hospital, you know, community hospitals yeah. and then stents. And then this one, in my opinion, this one's been the biggest advancement since the balloon and the stent for the coronary arteries. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And they're working on other systems to be able to do other valves in the heart, like the mitral valve and some of the other valves as well yeah. that need to be done. So,
well,
it's you know, they definitely have to work on the cost, but you know, I think that's something that'll come down eventually once a lot more are done in the U.S.
Okay, we're here with Casey Fatch. We're just talking about the TAVR valve replacement of yeah. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Mark Belton, who is the operations officer over at AMR, our ambulance agency here in town. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
For years, Shasta County residents have been plagued by homeless encampments, property crimes, and illegal marijuana grows. As a father and grandfather, I get frustrated hearing our current elected officials pass the buck on these persistent problems. We need new leadership, and we need it now. That's why I'm voting Eric Jensen for district attorney. Eric is an experienced attorney from outside the political establishment. Eric supports law enforcement, building a more adequate local jail, and working alongside the community to make Shasta County safe again. It's time for real leadership. It's time for Eric Jensen.
This ad paid for by the Liberty Committee. Not endorsed by any candidate or candidates committee.
Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom again. One of the small things I'd like to do as a supervisor is to put a survey on every receipt at every county counter. Fast food restaurants and grocery stores already do this, and it provides good information to those businesses on how to improve their service. The county departments I've dealt with these last couple years have been great, and I say keep up the good work. If there's any problems out there, I think this would be a quick and easy way to identify and improve them. I want all departments to be as customer-friendly as the ones I've most recently visited. Let's make Shasta County number one in customer service. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor. Hey, Shasta County, Chris Kellstrom here. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. We've elected career politicians for years now, hoping that the homeless problem, crime, wildfires, and water shortages will get better, and instead they all get worse. I am not a career politician. I'm an experienced businessman who knows how to solve problems and think outside the box. I want to work on our problems, not use them as campaign material every 4 years. Stop the insanity. Vote Chris Kellstrom for District 5 Supervisor. This ad paid for by the committee to elect Chris Kellstrom, District 5 Supervisor.
This is Baron Browning. I'm running for Shasta County Supervisor to make sure the worst wildfires we faced stay in the past. Like you, I've witnessed the aftermath of fires, millions of dollars in destruction of property, endless loss of natural beauty, and the needless lives of heroes taken. No one should have to live in fear their home will burn down. With your vote, we'll combat wildfire together.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Voter fraud is a hot topic these days, with certain voting machines at the center of the conversation. As voters, we need a voting system we can trust. Our current county clerk believes these leased voting machines are trustworthy and plans to use them for the next 5 years. We need a new county clerk that will work to replace these machines with one of 8 California-approved alternatives. Vote Bob Holsinger for Shasta County Clerk on June 7th. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey kids, what's your favorite kids meal at Black Bear Diner? Is it a mini volcano, burger sliders, chicken strips, or strawberry French toast? This month, have a grown-up bring you into Black Bear Diner, and while you're here, ask for a Happy Cupcake coloring sheet, get creative, and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adults. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Ready.
Black Bear Diner.
For years, Shasta County residents have been plagued by homeless encampments, property crimes, and illegal marijuana grows. I get frustrated hearing our current elected officials pass the buck on these persistent problems. We need new leadership, and we need it now. That's why I'm voting for Eric Jensen for district attorney. Eric is an experienced attorney from outside the political establishment. Eric supports law enforcement, building a better local jail, and working alongside the community to make Shasta County safe again. It's time for real leadership. It's time for Eric Jensen. Paid for by the Liberty Committee, not authorized by any candidate or a candidates committee.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Thank you, Jared. I love it. Tomorrow on our show, we're going to have the Chamber of Commerce, but also Baron Browning will join us at 7 o'clock and talk about his run for the supervisor for the 5th District, for the Board of Supervisors. So he'll be here at 7, and Jake Mangus at 8. Today I've got with me is Casey Fatch, CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, who just made the announcement that it just came out this morning that they got another A rating from which organization?
It's called the Leapfrog Organization. And yeah. They've been around for a while. They didn't have a lot of importance until they came out with this current format of how they're reporting, because there was a lot of credibility issues. But now it's all publicly reported data. You can validate it. And they report some pretty meaningful criteria, like, you know, problems with surgery, infection rates, all that type of stuff. And mm-hmm. I really encourage everybody listening to, you know, become a healthcare consumer. Actually, you know, go look at data. Go look at, you know, Hospital Compare is a good one to look at, and Leapfrog is going to look at, because it'll be really eye-opening to where you make your next choice.
It should be.
And it should be. And as a society, we've been really poor about becoming. We've always listened to our friends or even, quite frankly, our doctors, and never questioned and engaged in conversations about your choice. And it should be a choice. You should be making a joint decision with your physician. And then also look at that data and make sure that that's the right place you want to be.
Now, one of the things we talked about was the you're seeing people that are coming in that not being checked for certain things.
Yeah, we've had some real bizarre occurrences, which I've never seen in my career, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that people haven't been going in to get normal screenings because of COVID. But we've actually seen patients come in to the emergency room and require interventional procedures for carotid arteries. And then also we've actually had two patients come in with the tight aortic valve area that we talked about requiring a TAVR and required TAVR procedures. And those always, I'm talking almost 100% of the time are picked up on screenings. You know, and so that tells me that people are still not back with their primary care physicians and seeing the specialists for the screenings that would be indicated. So I just gotta say again, guys, get out there, get with your docs, and you know, the high blood pressure stuff, the diabetes stuff, everything that needs to be managed still needs to be managed, and it leads to real bad outcomes when it's not. And those outcomes are serious.
And that's just with normal screening when you see your doctor.
Right. Yeah,
just normal.
Absolutely.
So get back there and do that so it doesn't become an emergency.
Yeah, you know, because as time goes by, we all age, right? We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
And, you know.
One of my friends just came in and said, I've got this. And it's like, but it's not life-threatening. It just makes your life miserable.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Mark Belden, who is the operations officer of AMR, but you're also in charge of First Five?
Of Reach 5.
Reach 5, sorry.
They're an EMS helicopter based here in Reading, and actually have been here since 1992, and they fly all over the North State bringing patients into the Reading area, because Reading is the hub for medical care. So bring a lot of patients in from the outlying hospitals into here, do a lot of scene work, so those accidents that happen out in the hills And it would take a long time for an ambulance to transport them into the hospital. They're bringing them in. And then about, just a little over a year ago, we added a fixed wing, into the area so they can also assist with bringing patients in, but also helping get patients out if they do need to go to a higher level of care, for services not available here.
Now there's insurance for this.
Yes, there is membership available.
There's a membership available that costs you $50, I think, for a whole year.
Yes.
And that pays for your transport if you have to be picked up by a helicopter. Does it pay for the plane, too?
Yes, it does.
Now, if you don't have that insurance, you will probably get a bill into the thousands.
It's very expensive.
Very expensive. And I'm not advocating.
I'll just say, Carl, we have it for our employees.
Yeah. Okay.
We bought it. We
buy that for your employees?
We buy it. We pay for the card for employees because, you know, inevitably there's one or two a year, and it's a significant burden on somebody. It's not a shot against reach. It's just, you know, you're operating a plane. You've got to have pilots. It's expensive to do. It's something that, you know, it's not a charity organization. It's an emergency response organization. And so that has to be funded. And so, but we did the math and we felt it was better to have our employees and families covered under this program. And it was a kind of a next step in our partnership with Reach and AMR. It was a real good thing for our employees and families.
Well, it is. Yeah. And, you know, it's enough after I talk to you about, because I see it. It comes across occasionally across my desk. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's not one of those things where you're going, well, if you have it, then you might have to use it. Well, you have it because you might have to use it.
Right.
And I knew one of the pilots that flew.
Well, there. And Mark told me they make great stocking stuffers, too. So
yes, they do.
For $50, you're covered for a year. There.
I think it's about 65
now. Oh, is it 65 now? Yeah, when I first saw it. But still, 65. And if you have to be airlifted out.
Well, and it's anywhere in the country, right?
Yes.
That's
for our AirMedCare network.
That's
yes.
Right.
For your and if it's on a if it's yeah. an emergent thing with the fixed wing, that yeah. also covers the ground portion.
So what about the North Slope of Alaska?
We have Guardian Flight up there.
So well, there if you're in Nebraska and you drive off the road and you need to be airlifted out of there, you're covered. Even if it's a
provider within the AirMedCare network.
Yeah. Okay.
But we have several locations throughout the United States.
Okay. Well, that's something to look into, my friends.
Yeah,
you know, God forbid you get in that type of accident. But my friend who was a pilot said he's gone right into the middle of the forest.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like a medevac. And he came straight down. They said, you can't make it. And he says, watch me. And
I used to fly back in the 90s and early 2000s, and we flew with a lot of Vietnam
pilots. The Vietnam
pilots
guys were crazy. Yeah.
And they would often describe it as an LZ dust off.
Yeah,
of what we
just
were
like
doing.
That.
So, and the care providers on the helicopter. You know, we talked about a paramedic and an EMT on the ambulance.
Right.
Our helicopter and fixed wing have either two nurses or a nurse and a paramedic.
Okay.
So that extra higher level of care, being able to do more procedures, which is really nice if somebody needs to be brought in on a balloon pump or something like that for the heart, we can do that as well.
Okay. So. Casey, we've got a couple minutes left, so best thoughts here, buddy.
Well, let's see. What do we got? We're still working on our graduate medical education program for internal medicine.
Is that going to be?
It's going to be July 23. That's the date we're shooting for.
Okay, that's where you bring in the
residents. We'll have internal medicine residents. Now, granted, internal medicine doctors, again, the trick is to get them to come to Reading. And a lot of them move on to do specialty, you know, like GI or cardiology or whatever. But then the hope is maybe we get that one or two out of every class that decides to stay here and be primary care. But then also those other physicians that were here that did the residency here are oriented to the area and might come back as a cardiologist or a GI or a rheumatologist or whatever, which we desperately need. That's the only reason we're doing it. We're trying to get a pipeline of physicians to come back to.
Well, that'd be great if you could get a third of them, or half
yeah,
of them
exactly.
that decide they want to stay around here. Because God knows we're
well,
short.
Well, once you're exposed to the area, I think that's the big difference. It's because, you know, we'll get people that'll come out for maybe and it's that one super hot day or that one day where, you know, it's like 45 degrees and windy and they don't get the best picture, but you know, being here and it took me 2 days, but that's just me. I'm a quick study.
You love it here.
I do. And by the way, this is my 4-year anniversary today.
Oh, is it? Now,
it is.
Most CEOs of hospitals are maybe 3 years.
Yeah, 2 to 3 is the turnover. Yeah. And Yeah, Florida's up
there. But you like it here.
I love it here. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
It's, you love it here.
That's a great place. Great place to live and work.
It is.
And work. And the community is just unbelievable.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today. Casey, as usual, you come in with a bunch of information that's good for our good for our community. And Mark, it was nice having you here.
Thanks,
because I had all those questions. I'm sure other people do too. You know, we're laymen when it comes to, you know, if the guy's picking me up for some reason, you know, is he trained? You know,
right.
I've been picked up in ambulances before. And they seem to have done a good job. I've kind of like in and out. When
you're still here.
Yeah, I'm still here. So
our folks do a good job. Yeah. They work really hard for what they do.
Yeah, they do.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. And tomorrow, everybody, just reminding you, Baron Browning will be in here at 7 o'clock and Jake Mangus at 8. Baron's running for a District 5 supervisor. Have a great day. Be safe out there. Do your homework. Look at.